interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. It is a Friday TGIF edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben, alongside Clint, our pleasure to take you home on this February the 23rd, and always on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. You think we may have a few items on the agenda on this Friday? An FBI probe leads into a Yahoo story, and the bottom line is suddenly some of the big hitters are doing things that the NCAA doesn't have the teeth or the chutzpah to do on their own. So really, really big news in the world of not just basketball, not just college basketball, but college sports. Believe you me, it will be a heavy topic of discussion on today's show, and I'm bringing in a big gun of my own to help in that conversation. This should be some of the best radio we've had in a while here, and I'm not trying to get you excited for something that's, you know, it's going to let you down. This tease is legit. My man James Ricks is coming in studio from 4:30 until 5 o'clock. And if you heard Coach Ricks, formerly at Northside High, the man who brought the first shoe contract for prep basketball into the state of Louisiana, if you remember way back when he came to the tap room, I intended to have him on for 15 minutes. He stayed for 45, and my Twitter, my phone blew up because of the things this man was able to tell you, the insight that he has into everything in the world of shoe basketball. And now it looks like it's all going to go by the wayside. That probably is a good thing. LSU implicated in this with Tim Quarterman, following up on a report months back, you'll recall, that involved Jarrell Martin. So there's a lot of local angles to this thing. We'll get to those, and we'll also discuss what it means for the future of college basketball and college sports. So between now and 4:30, I'm wide open. You want to call? I've got time. 706-0111. But from 4:30 to 5 o'clock, we're going to be on lockdown as James Rick's going to join me here inside the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios. And, of course, we're going to talk about those Northside Vikings. He coached them for so long. His son, Ross Ricks, now doing his thing, and they're hosting a home playoff game tonight. And so really cool that we get to get live and local when it comes to high school basketball, and somebody who knows his stuff when it comes to college basketball and how some of the shoe companies have gotten involved and how some of these agents, some of these middlemen have gotten over-involved. And ultimately, it's really no surprise we got to the conclusion that we have reached today. So we'll have plenty on the Yahoo Sports story in today's program. At 5 o'clock, the on-deck circle with James Moran. You get a live scene setter of LSU Tech from Alec Box Stadium. Excited to ask James. His clairvoyant nature gave us a starter, Nick Webb. He called it before the season. He will start, and he did. We'll see if he can follow up on that. We need some of that magic that he's got to figure out what they're going to do with the starting rotation and how Zach Hess will look tonight, his second start. Also in Alec Box, but against a much different opponent, Notre Dame. Shelled him last weekend. Texas comes to town with an even better team. So I'm interested to see what James has to say about that. And then it's straight up 6 o'clock. It's bad enough that CD's here every day that I got to bring on a man he's going to do 2 hours of radio with tomorrow on the producers. Blaine Viator, it's straight up 6 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit of LSU baseball, but I really want to dive into recruiting in the state of Louisiana. And so not just LSU prospects in the 2019 class, but the best Acadiana area prospects. Who are they, and where might they end up? So James Ricks will be here live from 4:30 to 5. You don't want to miss that. James Moran, continuing our James theme, at straight up 5 o'clock, and then Blaine Viator at 6 o'clock. And we got to get out the dough by 6:30 to make way for the LSU-Texas pregame show. Now, I recognize that everything with the Yahoo Sports Report is the biggest story of the day. But as you can tell, I've got that base covered a little later in today's show, later in the hour. I want to go with a couple of different topics first. I want to salute Bob Marlin. Because 500 wins, and I don't care what level of college basketball you're at, 500 wins is an amazing accomplishment. And Marlin has done it in 25 seasons. He picked up half of 1,000 wins last night with a big and important, a meaningful 81-76 UL victory at Troy. And it resulted in a regular season title for the Cajuns, first since 99-2000. Frank Bartley, 22 points in the ball game. When I saw him a couple of weeks back in the Cajun Dome, he was cooking in that game against UT Arlington. So this team continues to be a tough one to identify as far as if you wanted to play the who's the best player game, good freaking luck with this UL Raging Cajuns basketball team. Who's the best player? Depends on the night. Depends on who you try to take away if you're the opposition. And so this team, 24 wins already. And most importantly, 14-1 in Sunbelt Conference play. Cajuns will be the number one overall seed when the conference tournament starts in Lakefront Arena in about 2 weeks, a little bit less than that. So congrats to the Cajuns, Sunbelt Conference champs in the regular season, and congrats again to Bob Marlin, 500 wins. Really a pretty amazing accomplishment. 500-274, the win-loss record for Marlin as a head coach. 123-35 at Pensacola Junior College. The man is literally in the Florida JUCO Coaches Hall of Fame. I've told this story before, but I asked him privately one time about success recruiting in Florida, and he said it helps to be a Hall of Famer in that state. It's just that's as good of a comeback as there could possibly be, and he's right. But then most of his time was spent at Sam Houston, at least as a head coach, 225-131 there. And with the win last night, Marlin is now 44 games over 500. He has notched 152 dubs as the head coach of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. So, again, our hats off. Salute to Bob Marlin. And they've still got a lot to accomplish in this season. So, Cajuns basketball, a little bit at the forefront of our thoughts here locally. Baseball for the Cajuns, home opener tonight, 6:30 first pitch against Wright State. Certainly top of mind, as is LSU baseball. And fair to say that neither the Cajuns nor the Tigers have gotten off to the start that anybody wanted, and they've each been anemic in different areas. We know that. It's well documented. Dave Schultz puts out a video of it once every 14 seconds. So you know that it's the Cajuns offense and it's the Tigers pitching. But I'm more concerned about the Tigers pitching. I'm more concerned there because I'm not really sure which direction they go if they want to jettison Zach Hess from the starting lineup. And I mention Hess because he's first up tonight. And he's going to go against a formidable ace for the Texas Longhorns. Cajuns fans right now are shaking head up down as they drive home. 10 strikeouts in a win a week ago in Austin. So Zach Hess is going to face a great starting pitcher tonight as an opposite number. And he's going to face a decent lineup at the plate as far as UT goes. But I think the Cajuns, who went through this last year, you'll recall, started very slow offensively. Some of that you were able to maybe point to trying to move into the tee. Now they don't exactly have the conditions the way they want. This year, not really excuses, just having to replace a lot of bodies. Sometimes it happens. You have turnover. You have attrition on a college baseball roster. And this year, they're very new at a lot of key spots. But I'd rather that situation than LSU's, which is worlds of uncertainty when it comes to starting pitching. And so we start to get some answers tonight on the kind of fortitude that guys like Hess have. And we had a caller earlier this week suggest that maybe they were trying a little too hard in the Notre Dame series, didn't trust the defense behind them. Trying to throw too many tight window pitches instead of just putting it over the plate and trusting the defense. Can they breathe a little bit, relax, and accomplish that tonight? We will begin to find out. But certainly the Cajuns' home opener against Wright State, cross our fingers that the weather stays good, should be a really strong crowd and a fan base that's ready to see the vermilion and white. So the Cajuns come in at 1-3. losers of 2 of 3 at Texas, and of course the ball game at Southeastern, and everybody in Hammond, obviously in our thoughts after the tragic events of last night. And then LSU at 2-2, looking to get back off the mat. We're going to see exactly what they can do in a big series against Texas. Taking our first break. We'll be right back. Sink or swim question of the day. You're dialed in to Bumper to Bumper. Kicking it with you on this Friday as Bumper to Bumper Sports takes you home and into the weekend on 103.7 The Game. And we always tell you about the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. Access it from the website, 103.7thegame.com. And new to the clubhouse, how about this? A new driver from golfballs.com, a dozen 103.7 The Game golf balls, a spot on the 103.7 The Game foursome, and the upcoming Chittimacha Louisiana Open Pro-Am, Wednesday, March 21st, and a Pro-Am gift pack, plus 4 Skybox tickets to all 4 tournament dates. Enter to win now inside the 103.7 The Game clubhouse. Clint. No more preamble. Let's get down to the sink or swim question of the day. It's going to be LSU baseball themed.
Love, exciting and new.
Yesterday, Hunt Palmer came aboard and gave you confidence levels for the rest of the season. In the 4 guys who have started so far for Alan Dunn on the mound, let's take away the midweek starter for now in Cam Sanders. For the purposes of today's sink or swim question of the day, I want to know which guy has the best outing this weekend. Is it Zach Hess? Is it Caleb Gilbert? Or is it Todd Peterson? Clint's got it up on Twitter. I think there may be a clear-cut answer here. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm not. But we'll give you honors, my friend. Which LSU starter fares the best in a weekend set against the Texas Longhorns?
I think we see the pitcher have the best outing. I think it's got to be Caleb Gilbert based off of what we saw last weekend. Zach Hess could have a bounce-back performance, but I'd much rather be more confident putting the shekels down on Caleb Gilbert right now.
You know, what's funny to me is listening to Hunt's explanation yesterday of and he's kind of just parroting so far what Maneri has said, but why swap Hess and Gilbert? And it sounds like he thinks that Hess has more Friday night type stuff. I just think that could be a double-edged sword. I think you're putting a combustible guy who's going to be fairly boom or bust in the role he's in now, less of that high risk as a closer. But right now you've got a fairly combustible, volatile guy in your Friday spot. And you hope that doesn't make your whole weekend series go kaboom. Not that that's exactly what happened last weekend. LSU survived a rocky start from Hess, came back and won that ball game. You just can't do that too often. And some of the sound I've heard from PM, Paul Maneri, this week, it resonates with me, and it makes sense. If you put yourself behind for virtually the entire series, it's hard to come from behind. It weighs on your mind. It's just heavy. And so you need to get out on the front foot. And I think the other part of what makes Hess a tough answer here, Clint, is the opposition and the starting pitcher that Texas will bring to the mound in Kingham. Not good, potentially great for Texas. Their returning Friday night starter gave the blues to the Cajuns last weekend. So I'm with you. I don't think it's Hess. I think the clear-cut answer has to be Caleb Gilbert, but I am curious to see what Todd Peterson can bring. And he had some chances last year. You'll recall he was supposed to make a very important SEC tournament start in Hoover, but ended up getting scratched, and a lot of rumblings that that was because he didn't take care of his responsibilities traveling with the team and being on time and bed checks and fun stuff of that nature. So some immaturity from a young guy, which should speak nothing to his ability. So I don't want to in any way, shape, or form right off what Todd Peterson could do. His start, not very good. Last Sunday against Notre Dame, not as bad as Cam Sanders against the UNO Privateers in the midweek. But, Clint, for me, the answer is Caleb Gilbert. And if I were going anywhere after Gilbert, I'm actually leaning toward Peterson. Slowly but surely. And, again, I'll take more of a sample size to back this up. But I think this LSU team, I'll disagree with what Hunt Palmer said yesterday, which makes me feel like I'm probably already wrong since I'm disagreeing with Hunt on baseball matters. Hunt thinks it's best for LSU if Zach Hess proves he is a weekend guy and can stay there. I feel Oppo like Taco. I'm not actively rooting for Hess to fail. I just think he's better in the other role. Time will see if I'm right. Time will see if that bears out or not. But I think LSU can find some of these young guns to come in and start for them and find a way to get to the back end and just know that once you get there, that's your nails. And that you're going to be as good, if not better, than anyone else in the conference and in America. So that is what's going to be very interesting to watch play out over the next couple of weeks, starting tonight. And look, frankly, if they have to do what I just described, if it ends up being someone other than Hess that enters the starting lineup, maybe this is a season where LSU can't expect their starters to give them 6, 7, maybe 8 innings on average. And so maybe they end up having to go into the bullpen earlier and more often throughout this season. But as we get ready for the second series of the 2018 campaign, I'll be interested to see what Zach Hess can do. And is it really better for LSU if he remains in that spot? Well, if you don't have to fill it with somebody else, that makes a lot of sense, right? If a veteran guy on your team, no matter what his former role was, if he can step in there, I understand the logic Hunt was giving. I just think he's better in the other role. And it makes you wonder if this is a case. I always think about guys like Vidal Alexander, who is as much an offensive guard as you could possibly draw up in the lab. But he knew that if he came back for a senior season at LSU, the only real way to up his stock was to go play as a bookend, go play OT. And so they indulged him and they moved him out there. But when push came to shove and they really needed him and they had some depth that they trusted out there at the tackle positions, then yeah, pretty quickly they moved the big fella back inside. So it makes you wonder how much of that has taken place here. And I have no knowledge that Zach Hess, you know, his parents, anybody in his circle, have applied any form of pressure to Allen Dunn or Paul Maneri to give him that opportunity. But, man, if you look at Major League Baseball right now, this would make me doubt that they've applied any pressure to, hey, give me a chance to start, coach. Look at the landscape of Major League Baseball. There are some ridiculous contracts being handed out to starting pitchers, sure. But elite closers are making primo cheese as well. And especially in the free agency market, those guys, I mean, even the Wade Davises of the world in this last offseason, but you look at the kind of money being thrown to Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrell. I mean, some of these guys make extraordinary bucks as the best in the business closing. Is that what Zach Hess is destined to be? Well, we're going to find out. And we'll learn a little bit more tonight about what he could do as a starting pitcher. And, you know, maybe there'll be a different tune on Monday. Maybe we'll be saying, okay, this might work out. But my gut tells me he's better in that other role. We'll figure out if I'm on track there or if I am way off base. CD, don't forget, we got James Ricks coming aboard from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. I am excited about that. Your big news story of the day, and frankly, maybe not even in the world of sports, but something that transcends that, the idea that amateur athletics even exist when it comes to basketball. We're going to put that into question here. We're going to figure out exactly what happens to some of these universities and their basketball programs. And LSU is included because of the recent findings on Tim Quarterman. So I'm excited. On the other side of this break, we're going to welcome James Ricks aboard. He'll join me for a 30-minute set inside the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios. And then LSU baseball fans, you don't have to listen to me pontificate. We're going to have the on-deck circle with James Moran, associate editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, at straight up 5 o'clock. So a busy, busy show today. Of course, we'll find time to throw a little shade as well. That's just kind of something we do on the program. And we are going to talk some high school basketball. Playoffs start tonight. Don't care if you're public. Don't care if you're private. Big or small, your road to Marsh Madness and getting to Lake Charles begins later tonight. Excited about that and a lot more. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Coach Rick's going to join me. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Right back in. Not going to waste any time. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love inside the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios, hanging out now with legendary coach James Ricks. And coach, before we get into everything that's happened in college basketball, got to salute the Northside Vikings. Your son, Ross Ricks and company, they're going to host Helen Cox tonight. That's a couple of teams that probably were a little underseeded, but everybody in 4A is fighting an uphill battle because that is a loaded classification this year.
Yeah, no doubt. There are probably 20 teams in this classification who could actually win the darn state championship this year. It's going to be a tough one tonight. Helen Cox is definitely not your regular number 22 seed, and Northside is not really your number 11 seed, so this is going to be a heck of a first-round event. Be at the Vikings Den and starts at 7 o'clock tonight. So we'd like to see all the people come out and watch some of the top high school players in the state and also some very good high school basketball. This is the road to March Madness begins tonight.
It's the time of year, so we're going to put a pin in that before we preview the ball game. But it's that time that fans really need to get out and support their local high schools. All right, the reason we had to have you here today, we have – an unholy mess that continues to unfold. And last time you were with us, this was really just beginning. And the FBI probe into racketeering, something that frankly had nothing to do with college basketball, or so they thought. Well, turns out that they stumbled upon that same guy. Some of those same people were starting to pay players. So they paid attention. Today, it seems that this thing is continuing to just be a ball of yarn that unrolls and it gets worse and worse. What is your view of everything that's occurred from somebody who's been not only in high school basketball, but in the AAU circuit, the shoe ball circuit? You've walked in those circles for so long. What's your take on the news today?
Well, Ben, I'm not surprised because the last time I was here, we kind of touched on it, that there were some other big names that were going to hit the table. And today we're looking at a mess. When you start talking about Calipari, Krzyzewski, Bill Self, Seton Hall, Avery Johnson at Alabama, major schools who within 3 weeks from now will possibly be playing for the NCAA championship. And this thing is going to get real ugly before it gets better, I can assure you of that. The FBI has no ties to the NCAA other than the fact I think the NCAA wished that they could have done some of this themselves a long time ago, and for a lot of reasons, mostly financial security from the tournament that generates all the money for the NCAA, and it's kind of like follow the money, baby.
And you've told me this before, that in college football, the bowls and now this 4-team playoff generates all the money that the NCAA gets to take a piece of that pie. Same thing for the Big Dance and the Final Four. And so it's interesting this news comes out. I'm not sure this is the best timing for the NCAA, but you're right. The FBI is doing its bidding that financially it can't do.
Exactly. And the thing about the FBI, you can't lie to them. You know, you can kind of skirt the truth with the NCAA and they kind of get who they want to get it most of the time. But with the FBI, you're going to see some major programs take some major hits. And it's all going to be based on the dollar amount that they can prove was taken by these athletes and their families and the college coaches who are, you know, there are a lot of college coaches who are going to, there'll probably be 30 to 50 jobs out there come April.
That's incredible. And when you consider it, we're talking out with James Ricks. They can't punish, and this is kind of the Reggie Bush thing from football. I guess you could take a Heisman away. You could take away awards and banners and all these things, but you can't punish somebody once they have moved on in terms of the player. So this is something that's going to fall on a combination of the current program that was left behind and any coaches that are there. If they can prove wrongdoing, then all of a sudden they got the show clause that's slapped on them. So is that the direction this goes next? These schools that had players tied with Andy Miller, with the ASM agency, and with Christian Dawkins?
Yes, and what you're going to find, Ben, is the penalties are going to be based on the financial success that these guys were able to get. An example, if a player went to dinner with Andy or Dawkins, chances are the school will appeal it to the NCAA, they will make restitution, and the kid will get reinstated. Now, for the major dollars, it's going to take a little longer to get those deals done. And the bad thing is we're only looking at 3 weeks now before the season, regular season ends. And I don't think the FBI is in any hurry to, you know, get this done. So they're going to take their time, and that puts the NC2A behind the eight ball as well.
And you're right. There are seven active players that were implicated in the Yahoo Sports report. Colin Sexton, Alabama, Wendell Carter at Duke, and Miles Bridges of Michigan State, most notably. So they're going to have to deal with those guys. And you know, it's funny because, I don't know if it's funny, but it's ironic that Tim Quarterman implicated in this mess as well, to have taken $16,000. You've got a little bit of insight into maybe some of the things that went down there. And is, I guess, your thoughts on the fact that LSU's name comes up, and LSU, Alabama, Kentucky, best I could tell, the only three schools I think that are in this mess from the SEC. Vanderbilt as well, I'm sorry, four.
Five. South Carolina's in there also. Okay. Well, you know, when you look at the LSU situation, this thing goes back to 2015 through 2017. So in 2015, Tim was like a sophomore. And we had other high NBA prospects playing at LSU. And through the process, Tim had a great sophomore year, if you remember.
Yes, he did.
And so he got some recognition. Now, let's look at the whole process, because Andy Miller is the guy that names on top. But in this process of trying to get kids to come into your agency and stuff, they have what they call a runner. And all that guy is, it's like lawyers use the ambulance chaser. These guys use runners. And Christian Dawkins was a runner for Andy Miller. So he gets caught in the middle of this situation, and he becomes friends with a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And Tim got caught in a situation where, hey, $16,000, that's a lot of money, but it's really not a lot of money in the scheme of the thing of money that's being thrown around. So Tim takes, you know, allegedly gets caught up. And then he didn't have a great junior year. So now we're looking at going from a person who would probably be drafted late first, early second, to a free agent contract. So now the money's cut off. And if AMS did as sloppy a job as they're being accused of doing, they're going to be a whole, there's like 4,000 more phone messages and conversations that are going to be, they're going to hit the surface. And of course, Tim's not in the D-League. This could hurt his career. He was good friends with Jarrell Martin.
And Jarrell was implicated with this ASM stuff a couple of months back.
And now it looks like if this turns out to be true, Jarrell actually received the second highest amount of dollars that were thrown out there.
To Dennis Smith of NC State.
Right. And, you know, here's Dennis Smith, and supposedly he got his money before he left high school. So and the NC2A, you know, they're saying that they've got to systematically look at this thing and do all of this. Ben, you can't clean this up in a week. You're not going to clean this up in a year. What's getting ready to happen to amateur basketball in particular is that the FBI is going to stay on this thing until they get what they're looking for out of there. And it's kind of like, you know, Christian Dawkins is like the guy that if we can turn him, then he can help us get to some other big dogs in the pond.
And when you say whole spread changes, we continue our conversation with James Ricks. Let's talk about, I guess, the grassroots basketball circuit in the summer. You can see a day, and it may not be long from now. I know you've had conversations with people that would be able to influence these types of decisions. You can see a day soon that there is no shoe affiliation with these type of circuits.
Oh, exactly. Well, last year, for an example, the Adidas circuit, the Nike circuit, and the Under Armour circuit, that's the big three. They had tournaments during live NC2A live period in April, two events. They had another event during Memorial Day weekend, which was a big weekend. And then in July during live period, they had 2 to 3 events. Well, this year, Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour are down to 2 events and 1 in the summer. So you can see it coming right now. Within the next 2 years, the shoe companies are going to be completely out of the business, and AAU grassroots will be like it was in 1987. Local teams, local players competing against other local kids, and you'll go to the national AAU tournament. There won't be this Vegas. There won't be Atlanta. There won't be Dallas and all that as we know it today.
Unbelievable stuff. So before we hit this first break, we just touched a little bit on how it's going to impact a lot of the current shoe circuit prep teams. How about these coaches? You said maybe 30 to 50 jobs could come open in April after the Final Four is over. So, I mean, Calipari, Krzyzewski, everybody that's involved and implicated right now, you expect that these are guys that are going to get the axe from their superiors once everything comes out?
Well, the Rick Pitino story, as it's played out, makes these other guys in a, put these other guys in a position where they're not going to be able to get around it. And you can look for some top names, the Boeheims and the Excelsiors. They're in trouble. They're in serious trouble, and their programs are in trouble, and school presidents and athletic directors don't have the leeway that they would have if it was just the NC2AA dealing with this.
Unbelievable. We got to take a break. We're coming right back in. We'll continue the discussion, take a phone call or two as well, and then try to fit in some Northside versus Helen Cox conversation. A lot going on. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We are back in the saddle. Ben Love joined for another few moments by James Ricks. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Let's wrap up some of the discussion here before we go to the high school ranks. But everything that has transpired today isn't a surprise. I asked you already kind of what may come next with some of these head coaches, and 30 to 50 of them could see big changes within their program, even if they aren't fired. But as you mentioned to me during the break, as with anything, there are levels to these kind of things, and it wasn't one size fits all in terms of some of the illicit benefits.
Exactly. When you look at the teams and schools and players that supposedly received in the 10,000 upward bracket, that's totally different from the guy getting a free meal. So the guys that got the free meal or had actually sat with Mr. Dawkins and had conversations with him, they will be looked at in a different light than the guy that took the 10,000 and up money. And, you know, the Rick Pitino situation where he got $7 million and the kid got a few thousand, they're looking at that very hard. And of course, he came back out last week complaining about them losing their title and all that kind of stuff. He did not help matters for his buddies that's still in the business, because now nobody's going to be feeling sorry for those guys, because coaches are making millions. Kid took 10,000. You know, we're not advocating that kids should take money by any stretch of the imagination, but the NC2A is going to have to look at this thing very hard and say, okay, what's fair to the kids? Because the kids do deserve some type of, you know, you can say, well, they're getting a scholarship, but yeah, it's great. Scholarships are great. But at 10 o'clock at night when that kid's laying up in the room and hadn't had anything since 4 o'clock that evening to eat, and he can't come up with any other means of feeding himself, that 10,000 looks good to him. And so that's kind of the scenario behind why they do some of those things.
Let's end on a local level. And we did talk about Tim Quarterman. We've mentioned Jarrell Martin as well. So look, you're not Nostradamus, but what do you think is possible that could happen to LSU? Because those guys have both moved on, playing various levels of professional basketball, and the head coach has moved on as well. So Will Wade has taken over a program that maybe suddenly could be in a big old pot of hot water.
Well, we've had two head coaches move on because if you think about it, this began with the Trent Johnson era. So, and ended with the Johnny Jones era. So, LSU, if Jarrell's amount is true in 52,000, LSU could say face some serious sanctions. They haven't. The biggest thing, I guess, that would happen to LSU is they would have to forfeit games that the kids participated in because they haven't won any conference championships. They're
going to forfeit and almost win against NC State in the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah, that's a tough one there. But that's pretty much where they are. And then they could receive some financial sanctions as well as some probationary status. But that's pretty much all that could happen to them. But when you look at the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Kansases of the world, they could actually forfeit some national championships.
Wow.
They could forfeit. And all of these guys could probably lose some scholarships if it's deemed that some of these guys are going to get a little bit of a break because they're going to be able to say, I didn't have anything to do with it, even though you and I both know that the head coaches are responsible for everything that goes on in their program. But look for there to be some changes, some major changes.
Unbelievable. And we really, as much as you and I have had conversations now, almost an hour and 15 minutes over two shows, we've talked about this, and we're still kind of just scratching the surface. So my guess is we'll do this again. Hey, before we let you go, we got to talk some high school basketball. Class 4A has 8 of 32 entrants from the Acadiana area. Westgate is the top overall seed. We actually spoke with Oliver Winston on the program yesterday. Northside, number 11 tonight, taking on number 22, Helen Cox. Tell us about it.
This will be a very competitive classic game between Northside and Helen Cox. Helen Cox features one of the top kids in the 4A ranks, a kid by the name of Isaac Smith. He's a 6'4 kid, very strong body, very athletic, likes to put on the deck and try to get to the rim. Not a great outside shooter. He plays on the travel circuit in the summertime, so he's legit. And they have about four other kids who know their roles. One kid is a very good shooter. The other guys are just good role players. And Northside's going to have their hands full. I feel good about playing at home. I talked to Ross today, and we talked about the keys to victory. And, you know, Northside's going to have to control the tempo. Going to have to not turn it over more than 10 times for the game. Going to have to protect the house. You know, you're at home now, so this is one and done. You got to protect your house. You got to have a lot of pride. Kids got to play with pride. Got to think about they represent Northside. They represent the city of Lafayette, and they represent their families. So I feel good about where they are. They're being led. Seneca Knight, who's one of the top players in the region, he has, he's being recruited by a few D1 schools, and he's had 7 games where he's had 30 points or more for us. Isaiah Rollins is our second best player. And, of course, you have Billy Saunier, who's a 2-sport kid. So I think that overall talent will be good, and you're playing at home. So, you know, they're coming out of one of the toughest districts in the entire state of Louisiana. So I feel good about all of our teams actually coming out of our district, really.
Northside, the 11 seed with a win tonight, would either travel to number 6 Tioga or host number 27 Assumption in the next round. So stay tuned for all of that. CD, I got to see the final word now of this 4 o'clock hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theory of the Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make 2 chairs turn.
Gaping, and you hear us on this show a lot talk about a leak in the dam, right? A small little hole. What we just discussed, what's going on right now in college basketball and in college athletics, there is a gaping hole in the floodwater. is going to continue to come through for quite some time. We'll see if LSU and a lot of these programs can tread that water. That's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Coach, this was a heck of a lot of fun. Good luck to the Vikings tonight. As I mentioned, we're counting eight teams in 4A that are all playing from the area. So hopefully as many of them as possible take home dubs.
Hey, we're excited about where we are, and I encourage all good high school basketball fans, find a game tonight in our area, and look forward to seeing you again, and hopefully see you in Lake Charles.
That's a deal. We're coming right back. James Moran, the On Deck Circle, LSU baseball discussion next. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the ShopRite to
regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too.
The FBI doing a little bit of regulating, you may say, and cleaning up a mess that the NCAA can't. We'll discuss that. We're back in Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Little Cajuns baseball conversation later in the hour. And then don't forget Blaine Viator, straight up 6 o'clock. Bit of LSU baseball, a lot more recruiting, including his thoughts on the top three area prospects in the football class of 2019. But if you want to talk a little bit about where LSU and some of these other schools fit into the FBI probe that Yahoo.com released more details on, feel free, 706-0111. We explored it at pretty good length with James Ricks at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour. So I want to open up the phone lines if you have any response to what you've heard or some of your thoughts. Now, as it pertains to LSU, we do have statements from Joe Oliva, and we do have a statement from Johnny Jones. Let's start first with Oliva, who dispatched this press release style. And here's the exact quote. "Today's media reports are deeply disappointing to all of us who are fans of college basketball. While LSU has not been contacted by federal, league, or NCAA officials, we can confirm a proactive and voluntary examination of current coaches and players was conducted by compliance officials and outside league counsel in the fall of 2017. That examination found the program in full compliance with NCAA, SEC, and university rules and regulations. LSU will continue to monitor basketball and other athletic programs for NCAA and SEC rules compliance." You read part of that the way I did, right? Examination of current coaches and players. While that's good, it doesn't exactly cure all ails, in my opinion. Unless he's just not telling us everything in that quote right there. But the fingers being pointed at Jarrell Martin and Tim Quarterman. And, you know, one thing James Ricks said that I'm a little dubious on, because I covered LSU basketball pretty closely and intently during that era. While Quarterman and Martin were both being recruited by Trent Johnson, both were signed by Johnny Jones. So I suppose that could potentially implicate Trent, but I would doubt it. I think those were guys that were ultimately reeled in, signed, and coached by Johnny Jones. And tip of the cap to Sheldon Mickles of The Advocate, covering LSU hoops for that publication. Sheldon was able to get a quote from Johnny Jones and his thoughts on the Yahoo Sports story that implicates both Tim Quarterman and Jarrell Martin. Said Johnny, who's now an assistant at Nevada, quote, "I have no knowledge or information in regards to this matter that we've all read about in the press, and because of that, I will have no further comment." And that's about as you would expect. If he would say anything different than that, and I were his head coach, Eric Musselman, I would yank that chain so hard, it would be painful for Johnny. So that's about what I would expect in that matter. But just an absolute firestorm that's out there right now. And it's not out of the realm of possibility to consider some of the game's biggest names no longer being head coach at the places that they have turned into institutions. Krzyzewski at Duke? Well, we'll find out. Calipari at Kentucky? We'll find out. It would seem more likely to me that guys like Bill Self at Kansas, it would seem more likely to me that guys like maybe Sean Miller at Arizona are sweating buckets right now. Avery Johnson at Alabama? Because here's the problem. When you have a current player, especially at a high caliber, like a Colin Sexton in Alabama, or you could say like a Miles Bridges at Michigan State. And look, Tom Izzo already had a nice hornet's nest that had been knocked over, thank you very much, before any of this came to light. But some of these big-name head coaches could kick the bucket in terms of their professional livelihood. If they're able to stay, they may be dealing with reduced scholarships. Is there really an Armageddon scenario where you're not able to field 68 teams? Is it possible that we're going to watch an NCAA tournament that involves like South Al and UNO? Are those going to be the only teams that are eligible for the NCAA tournament in 2020? I don't think so. I don't think we're heading toward that type of post-apocalyptic situation. But I think a lot more spit is going to hit the fan, so to speak. And I think you catch my drift there. We're not done with the hits coming in college basketball. And, you know, one thing that I said when this kind of came around the first time, before the Yahoo Sports report today, when we discussed this last and the FBI just made public some of its findings, one thing I said then is it's a matter of time before this seeps into college football. I think I'm changing my mind as I grow my understanding of this situation, because the FBI didn't go into this trying to blow up the college basketball model or the NCAA. They went into this wiretapping guys that were involved in racketeering with nothing to do with college basketball. They just found this, and then they found that Uncle Sam wasn't getting his change, and from there, we got problems. But I'm not so sure anymore that this will become some huge systemic investigation into all of college athletics. I really am not so sure about that anymore, so I feel like I want to walk that one back from the pledge a little bit. May even take the plank off the end of the boat and just completely walk that one back. And frankly, college football is doing a better job of covering its tracks, and where it has dirt, it's covering that up as well. The one thing that's definitely clear here is that the Christian Dawkins of the world don't know how to do their dirt. And as a result, it can help clean up college basketball recruiting. But at what cost? Which heads are going to roll? We're going to find out. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're rolling to a break, and then we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game. Here he goes. And there it is. Thank you, Mark Morrison. No longer my ringtone, by the way. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben, alongside Clint, and you have a smirk on your face a mile wide. Hey, the fact is, you just ruined the damn song for me, Clint. You ruined it.
Oh, I thought it was simply because of the fact that you're now married, so it can't quite have like Return of the Mac playing on the...
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. That's why I did it.
Nice.
Nah, yeah, right. And you know, it's funny,
like
too.
I said, I didn't know this. So.
What else is funny is it doesn't always go over well when you explain to your wife that a woman slipped you a note while you were doing a show at a bar. So as I tried to set this, and she came to the, my wife Jen came over to the tap room when the show was ending, and we tapped for a little while. That's what we call having a few drinks over there. So we did a little tapping, and as I was setting up that story, that's the way I introduced it. Sweetie, check it out. Some woman came over and slid me this note. Well, you can imagine that probably could have been couched a little bit better on my part.
Yeah.
But I have an extremely understanding wife. And then, of course, she saw the message, which said, could you please play Brick House? And that still continues to be one of my favorite taproom moments, maybe of all time. So, just saying, it's a pretty good time there. And to that lady, we did play it on the show. Next time I'm there, which probably won't be Thursday, but next time I'm there and I'm doing a show on Thursday, we'll see if we can get it through to the house PA.
The fact that you're bringing this up, I feel like going a little bit behind the scenes.
Sure.
Whenever you text me that to play Brick House, I'm like, okay, cool, we'll do that. I actually had Mark Morrison Return of the Mac planned for that segment to come into. So, like, it's almost perfect. You did not, for what it's worth, you did not know that before.
I didn't. I didn't know that until this very moment. And then you now have seen, because I posted it to Facebook.
Yes, it's amazing.
You guys know how to post things to Facebook? I wonder if we should put that on the 103.7 The Game page. I tagged you a-holes in it, but nobody shared it on the website page. So here we are, and it's just on the Ben Love personal page. But I shared the actual handwritten note, which has some smiley faces up there in it. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, you should have noticed right away when you saw the smiley faces.
Yeah. That it's a good intention woman who just wanted to hear a little brick house. One thing I can tell you, stone cold fact, no one throw shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. You like that segue? Go to the website, patiocenter.com. You're going to fall in love with the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings. And then before this summer, you'll know the right thing to do. You'll know that you want to see the TV outside without any glare. It all starts with a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website patiocenter.com.
Kind of hard to decipher exactly who deserves the shade here, but this is a shady story in general. Kawhi Leonard has been injured for some time now this season, and even though the San Antonio Spurs medical staff has cleared him to play. Turn from a right quad, let's see if I can pronounce this word, tendinopathy injury. I feel pretty good about that. Even though the Spurs medical staff has cleared him, the Spurs organization has given the final right of authority to make this decision to Kawhi. They've given the player the burden, if you will, of determining whether or not he's prepared to play again this season. Now, he's been shut down ever since January 13, and he has elected that he's not going to return right now. And Pop even told reporters today he'd be surprised if a two-time defensive player of the year and a guy who has recently finished in the top four or five of MVP voting, Pop told reporters Wednesday of this week he'd be surprised if Kawhi Leonard returns this season. So I have so many thoughts here. Not all of them are shade-worthy, but in general, kudos to an organization for giving authority to the player to make a decision about his body and his long-term health and future. I think that's a progressive way to go. But they gave the man the power, and he's making a decision right now that they almost certainly can't be happy with. Because when he got injured, the thought was that the Spurs were going to go into the proverbial crapper in the Western Conference and that they would struggle to hold on to maybe a 4 or 5, probably a 6 seed. Well, fast forward to today, and they're the 3 seed. Now, the fact that the Rockets and Warriors look like runaway freight trains, does that have anything to do with Kawhi's decision? I don't know the young man, but almost certainly not. The level of competitor he is, I promise you, that's not what's making this decision. He almost certainly, maybe with some counsel, feels as if, you know, if I sit out, I'll be back and better next year instead of being fatigued after another long into a season in which I'm kind of playing through the pain and through an injury. So if there's any outlet to throw shade at here, I think it's just the new school mentality. And in a weird way, I'm really not throwing shade at Kawhi. But if this happened 20 years ago, if this happened 25, 30, 35 years ago, could you imagine if Michael Jordan on some of those Bulls teams that hadn't quite gotten over the hump yet, could you imagine if he said, you know what? The Pistons are pretty damn good again this year. I am hurting. It would be better if I came back next year. I'm just gonna leave Doug Collins and company to fend for themselves and all the best guys. I'll be watching from a distance. No, it would never have happened that way. Now, the argument of, well, just because it used to happen this way, it should still go down, well, that doesn't exactly fly, right, across a lot of industries. So that same thing 25 or 30 years ago on the football side would have been players on the NFL level running around with concussions, and now we have CTE. So it's hard to always play that game, but just kind of the old school get off my lawn mentality guy that rests within my soul, and he does share a part of my soul, that guy right now is barking a little bit at this notion, like, really? The team doctors cleared you, which, again, hopefully you have better team doctors than the Saints and the Pels had when they made their diagnosis on Delvin Chip Bro about 8 or 9 months ago. But still, he was cleared by one entity, and he gets the decision. He's not going to He's not going to play anymore. It's very interesting. So old school me just thinks that this is a little too newfangled, and this is not exactly in the best interest of the franchise. Of course, you could argue that it is, and he's protected himself and the franchise long term, but I don't know, man. The number three overall seed, the team itself has cleared you medically. It's a sticky situation. They're doing the best they can by their star, but I still feel a little uneasy about it. It's just not something I grew up watching in sports.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business in 2017.
To quote my good friend Clint Domang, it's an interesting situation. And it is. So we explored it a little bit right there. We are going to take our final break of the hour. When we return, try to get you some Cajuns and LSU lineups. Both are heading toward big weekend series. It's opening weekend at the T for Tony Robichaux and the Cajuns. LSU baseball looking to bounce back, looking to get some legitimate, decent, consistent starting pitching. We'll discuss it all. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Wrapping up hour number two. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Don't forget Blaine Viator joining us about 15 minutes from right now. And as promised, we have half of the lineups we wanted to share with you. Don't have LSU yet. Tigers, first pitch, 7 o'clock, pregame show at 6:30 as they welcome the Texas Longhorns to town. But we do have the Raging Cajuns starting lineup going up against Wright State. First home game of the regular season. We'll share that with you here momentarily. A programming reminder, you get a Tigers double dip tomorrow on Acadiana Sports Station. LSU basketball at Georgia. They're going to tip off at 1 p.m. Central time. That game being played in Athens. LSU and Georgia, 1 p.m. Central tip, 12:30 pregame show. We got you covered here. And then in Baton Rouge, you're going to have the baseball game. Clint, I believe 6:30 first pitch, so 6 yes. o'clock pregame show?
This is correct.
I wonder if we could get those to sync up. It'd be awfully close, but probably not going to quite get that. So you may get about an hour, perhaps an hour and a half of some of the network stuff. Not sure that a 1 p.m. game is going to quite bridge the gap that we need to 6 p.m. So maybe two and a half hours of the network.
I think probably 2 hours tops. I mean, like I said, it's never going to be like dead on accurate.
It worked out pretty well last weekend.
Well, I mean, mind you, those games were like literally back to back. And also, you also could have had like Chris Blair just jog down to the box and get there in time, probably for the first, maybe second inning.
That's a longer jog from Athens. As somebody who drove from Baton Rouge to Athens probably, I don't even know, 25, 30 times in his life, it's just not something you want to do. You're going to eat those 600 miles one way or the other. Okay, I promise a Cajun starting lineup. Let's get to that right now. And there's not too many surprises here, but I have identified at least one. Clint, I'll get your opinion on that young man shortly. But 1-9, here's how they're going to line it up for Robe tonight. Gavin Bourgeois, again, leads off, plays in center. Hayden Cantrell, again, bats second, play at shortstop. Hunter Castles, play second base, bats third. Cleanup at first base, Tyler Stover. Tremaine Spears is going to bat 5 and DH. Circle that one. We'll come back to him. STM product, O'Neal Lockridge. He's done some DHing so far this season. Tonight he's going to bat 6th and start at third base. Kenan Fontenot bats 7th. He'll play in left. Cole McKinnon, again, will take the place of an injured Hanson Monica at catcher. He'll bat 8th. Zach LaFleur rounds things out. He'll bat 9th and play in right field. And, of course, for the second straight weekend, starting pitcher is going to be redshirt sophomore Jack Burke. But the name that's, I think, the least familiar, the most foreign, if you will, here, is Tremaine Spears, CD, in lightness.
The guy, honestly, doesn't have a whole lot in terms of statistics. If you look at his career hitting statistics, he's actually only batted 18 times in his collegiate career. Mind you, he is fairly young in the game, a sophomore out of Tioga. And last game, he wound up going 1-for-1 with a double. So maybe Robichaux seeing something in him based off of that performance on Wednesday against the Lions.
LSU has been trying to find a spark from a pitcher at the plate in Austin Bain. We'll see if that continues to tonight. Still, I'm not seeing an LSU lineup. Hope to have that for you before we exit stage left at 6:30. So LSU's looking to, I'm not doing the voice, Glenn, but LSU's looking to Bain to find a little spark offensively. And after a hit on Wednesday night, Robe and company are looking to Tremaine Spears. Also noteworthy, as I mentioned, that McKinnon in there again for Monica at catcher. What we don't know yet, and maybe I'm behind the times here, but I haven't seen anything official as to what they plan to do on Sunday. So Nick Lee will get the ball tomorrow in game two against Wright State. On Sunday, you any wiser than me on this? Any knowledge on Hogan Harris, his availability or lack thereof?
I have next to no knowledge on that, but I'm almost certain we will hear one Dave Schultz talk about it later tonight.
How exactly is that going to happen? Oh, video style.
Yes.
I was about to say, have we carved out some random time at like 10:30 for that lunatic to come on and talk Cajuns baseball?
No. But like I said, if you go to our Facebook page.
But maybe we should.
Facebook.com/1037thegame and also on Twitter at 1037thegame or just at Dave1037thegame. That's how you get all that information.
The most entertaining radio. And look, I'm just going to throw all kind of post shade at YP. You people that drive home with us every day, we love you. But the most entertaining radio I've done since I've been here was the LSU postgame show. And it's probably not even close because the level of, word?
You kind
of
did it at the right time, too,
yeah.
When you think about it. I mean, it was after the Les Miles, because I think you started like right after Les Miles got canned.
It was my idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we absolutely tailored it to be at that time because we knew that there was turmoil and there'd be a lot of discussion, and there was. So I'm trying not to use the word inebriation, but there was a decent level of lubrication, we could put it that way, on a number of the callers, and the timing was just perfect because it just flat out takes you a while to get back over the basin. So especially those that went to the game that would then come back over and they were, you know, the ones that weren't driving were drying up a little bit. They'd call in and they wanted to talk about what they saw. And there were also, you may recall, a lot of dubs. I mean, they won a lot of those games. The only post-game shows we did after losses were, I mean, for sure Alabama. I think that was it.
I think that was it because we
didn't do one after Florida.
Oh, y'all didn't?
We didn't do one after Florida.
Okay. I mean, y'all did do one when there was no game at all.
That's right. I remember we didn't do one after Florida. The Florida game moved that year.
Yeah.
We were supposed to do one originally after Florida in Gainesville, but it turned into Florida in Baton Rouge, and Darius Geis goes the wrong way, and we all remember. But I vividly remember why we didn't do one when LSU played Florida, because I was in Athens.
Yeah.
I went to the Cajuns Georgia game.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was wildly entertaining radio. I will just put it that way. And you had to wait an hour and a half. We still would if we did it again. You'd have to wait an hour and a half as a network affiliate for their official pregame show to come and go. And so we were doing those shows from like midnight to 1:30. I think kickoff against Ole Miss at home was like at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Like,
so I want to say we legitimately did a 1:30 to 3 a.m. show and fielded 12 calls. Are you kidding me?
The witching hour.
I mean, look, dude, seriously, what time is it right now? It is 5:54 p.m. Now, I know I have jam-packed this show full of guests, and we sink or swim, we throw shade. Yeah, we do all those things. You know how many calls are we taking today, Clint?
Goose egg.
Zero, and it's really freaking weird.
Yeah, it's unusual.
I feel like you haven't actually turned, like, some button on. It could just be me and you talking to one another right now.
Basically.
Are you sure we're broadcasting?
I am almost certain we're broadcasting live and local from the ShopRite to Backup Plus Studios.
Just checking.
The meter's up and down. We're doing
just checking.
We're looking good.
Damn it, baseball season. You did this. We have all the fun in the world talking football. Even when it doesn't go well, we talk football. I try to bring a little basketball culture to the place and dress it up as well. And we got our guy Frank calling in. He's basically been on a watch basketball, lose weight plan since I started doing radio in this market. That seems to be going okay for Frank and probably Mrs. Frank as well. So, you know.
And then we got Blue asking you to do an entire show
right.
Without talking
Could
football.
Could you please stop talking football? This is what happens when we talk baseball. I'm praying for the day. I'm reminiscing on the day where somebody drunk would call me to talk football at 1:48 in the morning.
Be like,
that's where we're at.
The
baseball.
Up,
you did this.
So basically, It sounds like to me you're saying basically you'd much rather the 145 you up text basically to talk football.
Sure.
The equivalent of that.
Sure. Absolutely. And we're all going to fake the funk when spring football comes around. It's not the same.
No, it's not.
It's just not the same. I'm looking forward to fantasy baseball. I'm a nut when it comes to that kind of stuff. I love the pro game. I get up big time when it's time for the MLB playoffs, but the beginning of baseball season, when both of the teams we frequent that are currency on this program, when they play like poop, you did this baseball. I blame you. So what I'm telling you is that LSU and UL need to start playing a little bit better. Because what I don't want is for it to go in the other direction, or kind of, you know, the way it started, for it to continue in that trajectory, and then all of a sudden I start getting the fireman Eric calls and the, are we sure Robe is – yeah, I'm not playing that game with you. It's not playing that game with you.
Can't do it.
Now, can't do it, won't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Now, if you want to call me at 1:38 in the morning, you've had a couple, you've tied one on, you're at least two sheets to the win, and you want to talk some football, well, that just may make me feel a little bit better. That just might make me hark back to a time when I felt alive a little bit. It was real to me, damn it. Baseball season, though, has just come and sucked the air out of everything. Thanks again, college baseball. We're taking a break. When we return, Blaine Viator. We'll talk a little football there. A little football recruiting. Yippee! This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we think you can still hear us on Acadiana Sports Station. I'm going to look into that during the break, though. This is 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Sprinting toward the weekend. We've got 30 minutes to go. Fired up for more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, Clint Domang kicking it until 6:30 inside the ShopRite Tobacco Plus Studios. That is when the pregame show starts for LSU and Texas from the box. We hope to have starting lineups for the Tigers before the pregame show. We just gave you some for the Raging Cajuns. If you need a reminder, you'll get in our next segment. But right now, as we head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, our pleasure to welcome aboard a co-host of The Producers, Saturday mornings, starting at 10 a.m. right here on Acadiana Sports Station, Blaine Viator. Blaine, what's good on a Friday, man?
Oh, man, I'm just enjoying some of the South Louisiana weather. Sitting outside of my patio right now, letting it all soak in.
And we got to talk a little bit of football, because I hate to say this. You know me, man. I love the pro game. I don't hate college baseball, but it's sucking the life out of the damn show. And so we got to talk some football, and I got to ask you to give me your top three area prospects. So these are kids that are juniors in high school right now at Acadiana area schools, and by the time that they come and go after their senior seasons, who are college coaches coming to see the most in this area?
Well, we talked about it already, Ben. The 2019 class in the state of Louisiana is absolutely loaded. Now, there's a couple guys in the around the Acadiana area that you know, fit the bill. Thomas Perry, the LSU commit out of Turlings Catholic right here in Lafayette, 6'7", 320-pound tackle, got nimble feet, is a great bender. His father's also a legacy player that's played at LSU, so I expect that commitment to definitely stick. Christian Archangel from Como is another guy who's really talented. He goes about 6'2", 180 pounds. He's a safety, plays really physical in the box, can cover some, but his game's really physicality inside the box, stopping the run. The guy who most intrigues me in this Acadiana area is probably Tyrese Jackson. You and I saw him at Westgate this year when Canicle played him, and we both were in awe. He's a big physical back, runs really well in between the tackles. He goes about 6 foot, 215 pounds. He's the bell cow kind of back. You kind of back that you really want to give the ball to maybe 25, 30 times a game. I really think he has the most upside out of any prospect in the Acadiana area. I know you asked me for three, but I'm going to give you one more. Deion Senegal, recent transfer to St. Thomas More from Canicle High School, wide receiver, about 6'3", 190 pounds, great athlete, got a good frame, good catch ball radius, goes up and gets the football, high points it at his highest point. It has that breakaway speed. He's another guy that could be a game changer on the next level.
Getting good information right now from Blaine Viator. We'll do a little LSU baseball talk before we're done here, but I got to stick with local high school football, and this isn't as much recruiting related, but with the news yesterday that Ted Davidson retiring as head coach of the Acadiana Wrecking Rams, there were a lot of talented seniors on last year's Acadiana squad. Just what can you share with our listeners about the squad that the next coach, whoever he may be, will inherit?
One of those programs that just kind of reloads. That veer machine that they have, you don't have to have the most talented offensive line. You have to be really disciplined and follow the blocking schemes. And then they seem to just turn out these 5'8 running backs that seem to hide behind this offensive line and just kind of squirt out in these holes and get loose in the open field. And I don't expect anything different going forward from Acadiana. I heard some chatter today that actually the head baseball coach, Coach McCullough, might be in line to maybe take that job at Acadiana. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how this plays out. But I don't expect Acadiana to have any drop-off. They got a special program here in the Lafayette area, and they just kind of keep churning out winners year in, year in.
I like the intel on the baseball coach. We'll keep an eye on that. All right, one more when it comes to football, and LSU is pretty blessed. Hashtag blessed, because it's recruiting talk, to have all the kids in Louisiana that are as talented as they are in 2019. But as you look outside of the state, we know about Grant Gunnell in Texas, recent quarterback decommit from Texas A&M. Are there any other premier out-of-state prospects that you have your eye on and you think could be a huge difference maker in LSU's 2019 class?
Well, I think you got to look at a guy like Noah King, who's actually originally from the Baton Rouge area, who moved out of a state and attends IMG now. He's a dynamic running back, a five-star on most of the websites. Seems like he has a good opportunity to maybe end up in this LSU class. I'd really like to see him kind of see how his recruitment takes shape. And then you got a guy who's kind of seems like might pop at any moment now, right now, for LSU. Is an athlete out of Texas, kind of maybe play a little bit of wide receiver, a little bit of cornerback, good athlete, a four-star. Excuse me, his name's kind of escaping me right now. But they're really after a lot of kids out of Texas right now, especially in the Houston area. So you got to kind of keep your ear to the ground on that.
Blaine, before we let you go, I do want to talk some LSU baseball. So they start off, and the starting pitching couldn't have been any worse through four games. And they switch up things in the rotation. It'll be Zach Kessel on Friday. He'll get to go tonight. Caleb Gilbert tomorrow night. Is that a move you think that can really have any tangible effect on how these guys start off?
Well, I just kind of think Coach Palmieri is just kind of toying with the lineup, seeing what he could get out of it. Look, baseball's a long season. There's not really time to pump the brakes or cause for panic quite yet. Let's see a couple series play out and see how it happens. I think Zach Hess would be most effective coming out of the bullpen, like a lot of LSU fans do. You hear him talk about it quite frequently. They're going to keep giving him opportunities in the starting lineup to see if he can shake loose. The biggest story to me going into the weekend is Zach Watson. What kind of availability will you have from him? He got hurt in batting practice before the UNO game a couple weeks ago, and he's going to be out tonight. I doubt we're going to see him tomorrow as well. So I think that's the big storyline I'm looking for going forward. And I mean, the starting pitchers, but let's kind of see how this thing shakes loose and give them a couple weeks before we, you know, go into full panic mode.
All the rage before the regular season opener, we continue our visit with Blaine Viator, was about a local product to this Acadiana area, Turlings Catholic product, Nick Webb. And look, anybody who starts off his career in that type of position, they put him at first base when he was really an outfielder. They've DH'd him. They had him batting as high as second. So, like the pitching, he deserves a whole lot of time, and he's going to get opportunities because he can rake. But what are your hopes and aspirations for that young man in year one at LSU?
Well, look, if anything, Palmieri's proven that if you could swing the bat, he's going to find a place for you in the lineup. He's definitely not a natural first baseman. He's much more of an athlete, could probably be a great corner outfielder before he leaves LSU. But they're going to find ways to get him in the lineup. I just see that they posted a lineup for tonight's ball game, and he's actually not starting tonight. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him get in at bat late in the ball game so they could kind of insert him into the lineup. I think, you know, sky's the limit for the guy. The way he came in and swing the bat during fall camp and the way he's starting the season just red hot, I see big things for him. I mean, I think he's a guy who could come in and hit over 300 as a freshman pretty easily. So that's saying a lot about the local product out of Turlings.
Blaine, before we let you go, Marquez Beeson, is that the name on the tip of the tongue?
Yes, I'm sorry, Marquez Beeson. It was just slipping my name. I mean, the guy came for a visit last week and rave reviews before he came in. It looks like he was going to be a strong lean to Texas A&M. since he's come back from the visit, he's given just numerous interviews to local guys like Billy Embody and others, and just raved about his visit, and it seems like he could pop at any moment now.
5'11", 173, listed as an athlete at a Bishop Dunn High School in Dallas, and a guy that's four-star bordering on five. So, my man, you know your stuff. You gave us a little college baseball talk and a lot of recruiting as well. Before we let you go, what's coming tomorrow as you and CD hook up for the producers?
Hey, we got a guy coming on with us tomorrow, Cornelius Brown IV. He's a quarterback out of Alabama, kind of a guy who's just booming right now. Picked up five FBS offers over the week, and he's got invited to the regional Elite 11 camp, and they expect big things out of him. So tune in tomorrow, and you could, you know, catch up on his recruitment and see where it's going to go going forward.
10 to 12:30, Clinton Blaine bringing you the producers on a Saturday. Enjoy your evening. We'll be listening tomorrow.
Thanks, bud.
There you go. Getting the goods on a couple of different fronts. We got to take our last break of the program. Maneri, give us the lineup so I can give it to Acadiana. Hopefully we have it when we return. You are listening to a Friday, February 23rd edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming back one more time, ready to bring you into LSU versus Texas baseball on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Coming right back in, and you never know what topics we may explore.
Visit Sterling Kia in Lafayette during the President's Day event. And
this is how we do it.
All right, all right. We're back in. Bumper to Bumper Sports one more time on this Friday. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Clint, there's good and there's bad, and we've discussed a little bit of both in the program. The good, Bobby Marlin, 500 wins, Raging Cajuns, regular season champs. The bad, and kind of the ugly as well, everything going on with college basketball, the FBI probe, the Yahoo Sports story, all the above. And then there's just the soul-sucking nature of college baseball on this program. I'm trying, maybe I'll unleash a full study into this, but my immediate thoughts, a no-call show, this is unheard of and unprecedented. I can't help but look at you for this, college baseball.
It is directly your fault.
But are we 100% sure?
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
I can't even make it through that whole clip from Step Brothers. And you know the best part about that, if I'm not mistaken, is after the dad gives him that, run that back one more time, the last one, because that's the best.
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
I'm pretty sure right after that, John C. Reilly is like, okay, but seriously, are you going to give us the loan for Prestige International or not? Are you going to give us the money? Just absolute tone deaf. Hops right into it. So, baseball, specifically college baseball, it is 150% your fault. This is your fault. It's not my fault. Okay, it's not that I couldn't come up with content. We talked some NBA. We talked some college basketball. A lot of college basketball, in fact. We talked some high school basketball. And that's another one of the good things that we have going on. The road to Lake Charles, March Madness for boys basketball, begins in earnest tonight. But I don't know if I like this kind of stuff that's going on, man. I'm going to have to survey the landscape a little bit. Maybe launch a full-fledged study, CD, because right now I can't help but think that this is absolutely 150% your fault.
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
That guy almost burst an artery right there.
Yes.
You can see that happening as you hear that clip.
Oh, it's amazing once you hear that clip. Play it one more time.
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
All right, we're going to cut it off right there. Otherwise, this is basically the Jim Rome show. So we're not playing that any more times. Boom, post shade. But we've got college baseball that's coming, and I'm just going to have faith that they'll start winning, that LSU's guys will start pitching, that that UL's guys will start hitting, and that Monday we'll talk some college baseball, and people won't start snoring like Clint did when I asked him to discuss Cajun's hitting earlier this week, and he launched into a discussion about Colton freaking Schmidt. So if I can't keep you in it, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen anywhere else.
No, it's really not. But we finally got a starting lineup for LSU.
Is Paul Molinari throwing out a lineup that I can dispense to the people?
Oh, we finally got one. You mind if
tell you what? Why don't you dazzle us with some college baseball talk? Maybe if you talk college baseball, people will be excited.
People will call in with like 6 minutes left of the show. All right, starting things off, batting leadoff Daniel Cabrera out in left field. You'll have in DH Austin Bain. He's going to be out at DH tonight.
I thought we weren't doing Bain voice. Tell you what, he keeps raking. You could do Bain voice.
I'm about to say, he keeps being in the lineup as a batter. He can do what he wants. Moving over to center field in the three hole, going to be Antoine Duplantis, Hunter Fiducia, catcher, hashtag as expected. Right field's going to be Bo Jordan at third base, Jake Slaughter. Bryce Jordan going to be at first base batting seventh. At the eight hole, Brand Broussard. At the nine hole, Hal Hughes. Again, Zach Watson's still out.
I think I followed most of what you just said.
Yes.
I think that I did. Cabrera will lead off.
Yep.
And Bain will bat second.
As the DH.
And so with Fiducia back, you said he's going cleanup tonight?
Yeah, he's batting cleanup. Four hole.
All right. So between Fiducia and Bo Jordan, that's where they're going to derive the majority of their power, especially with Zach Watson out tonight. But I'm interested in this idea about – and so remind me, Duplantis batting three?
Yep, Duplantis batting three, which is he's consistently
fit. So Duplantis would seem to be the best fit for leadoff sans Josh Smith. But they're going Cabrera now, and I can't say that I fault it. But that's a guy that was James Moran's pick to click, if you heard him earlier in the 5 o'clock hour, another time when we were talking college baseball. You know, he thinks that's the guy that will emerge this weekend. His two cents are expect the Parkview Baptist product and the freshman to start to break out a little bit, and they could use it. They could use it. They're going up against a very, very tough junior right-handed pitcher tonight in Nolan Kingham. And a good point that James brought up as well is the bright lights are on tonight with a lot of scouts in the seats. Anytime Zach Hess and Nolan Kingham square off, or those two are going to pitch, expected to pitch, the scouts want to come see him. And they may not be scouting Hess for the role he's in right now at the big league, but I wonder how he's going to pitch not only with the bright lights, but considering the fact that his coach has given some form of a vote of confidence. As strange as the move may seem to move him from Saturday to Friday, there's no doubt that in some way that's Maneri saying, you know what, we need to get off to a good start. We're going to put him up against their best. And Kingham most certainly is that for the Texas Longhorns. So I'll be interested to see how this one turns out tonight. Cages are sending Jack Burke to the mound in a ball game that starts here in 5 minutes. Home opener. Russo Park, Teague Moore Field, LSU sending Zach Hess to the mound. So we should have a lot to discuss Monday. And if I feel up to it, we may even discuss some college baseball. They put some wins on the board. LSU pitches, UL hits. We'll talk some college baseball. If not, I may just start asking how many games LSU wins in football next year. Take us to a question of the day, and today it will last for 2.5 hours. No, we probably won't do that. Probably will not do that. But a lot of people recharging the batteries a little bit. Don't sleep on basketball. That's how I led off this week. They didn't want the sun to set on them just yet. And certainly for the Cajuns, it's not going to. 24 wins already in the regular season. It's remarkable. 14-1 in league play, and they got a chance to run that to 15-1 tomorrow at USA. LSU, of course, in Athens, playing at Stegman Coliseum against the Georgia Bulldogs. It's a game on paper you would think LSU could, maybe, should win. But then you realize LSU hasn't won on the road in SEC play in a hot minute now. And by a minute, I mean like a month. So we'll have a lot to discuss on Monday's program. I'll try to find a way to interject football into your lives. Blue, you're going to have to live with that a little bit. And of course, the Astros, Major League Baseball, they're getting closer to some significant milestones, right? I think you've got actual spring training ball tonight.
Yeah, you had Astros play their first game earlier today. I have no idea what the final score is, but I did see they were playing.
So what did you just add to the conversation?
Well, that they're starting.
But what did they do? That makes our combined show prep on Astros spring 0, which matches the number of callers. I'm just going to go home, tuck the head in under the covers for a little bit, dream of football, and then try to find ways to maybe revitalize the LSU postgame call-in show. It just doesn't get any better than that. We want to thank our guests for today. In all sincerity, a lot of fun when James Ricks comes in studio. 30 straight minutes of great conversation from a guy who would know of what he speaks. I recommend you check that one out on the podcast. Go on demand at 1037thegame.com. We've tweeted out as well. Really good insight into everything that's happening right now with college basketball and the grassroots high school circuit on the hardwood. Our thanks to James Ricks. Another James, James Moran from Tiger Ag Magazine, and then Blaine Viator joined us not long ago. He's going to join Clint Domecq tomorrow from 10 until noon 30. Make sure you catch him. It's the producers. They will follow the professor and First Cup from 8 until 10 a.m. For all of our guests, our loyal listeners who suffered through college baseball conversation, I'm not going to get tired of that, I don't think. We've been having a lot of fun with you this week. For Clint, I'm Ben. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. Stay tuned. LSU baseball next. Texas coming to town, and you're only going to hear it on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Sports.